Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is July 1st, and we are here with another episode. I have my buddy Clinton sitting next to me, Clinton Brower.
Hey guys.
And of course, from New York City, Mr. Neil Brower. How are you?
Hello, doing fine.
Once again, no relation. I have eaten my gas station sandwich, and we're ready to go. You guys
That's
have
disgusting.
A...
Wait, which gas station?
The QD.
Oh, the QD.
It was quality.
Oh, that doesn't count. That quality. Is quality dairy.
Yeah, it's a convenience store sandwich, I guess. I know we're recording a little early this week because Wednesday is July 4th, and we like to record on Wednesday, but here we are on a Sunday, so I know it hasn't been that long since we recorded, but what have you been playing, Clinton?
I have not played any video games since we last recorded. I've been playing games, though. Obviously, I'm right. Always playing games.
Right.
The granddaddy game of them all.
Factorio.
The old Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, Dungeons and Dragons, right. Dungeons.
There you go.
Yeah, on Saturday for a couple hours, and I spent the last two days getting ready for my big campaign that I DM.
Right.
So.
Right. didn't we play? No, we didn't play a game on Friday. We had that party. That's right.
Yeah.
Neil, what have you been playing?
Much like Clinton. I had a busy week. I didn't get a lot of time.
I saw you on ESO yesterday, though.
Well, I got on ESO for a bit, messed around alone. That's fun. It always feels a little grindy, and at the heart of it, you want it to be Skyrim, and you want to be like alone in a dungeon.
And if it's not
but
Skyrim,
it's just not it.
You want it to be like a multiplayer,
right?
Yeah.
Where you and someone else are actually doing something.
You did sound really sad when you said that. Just doing stuff alone.
it's definitely not as fun alone.
Yeah, for sure. But I know your character in Elder Scrolls Online, your character's a mage. Mine's an archer, so I saw you were doing Mage's Guild stuff. So
yeah, that was kind of fun. But you know what I did do was briefly opened up Overwatch, and I played for the first time since Symmetra got reworked.
Oh, yeah. How's she?
She's a beast.
I'm excited. We got to get back into that soon. I'd be into that. I haven't even played since Bridget came out, right? That's her name?
Yeah, and she's probably one of my favorite characters in the game right now.
Yeah. Let's
I mean, I think from day one I was saying I want a tanky healer, and she is exactly that.
Right. Well, maybe we'll play that tonight after this. I took yesterday, and all I did was play games mostly. I napped and played games, and I beat Cuphead. Finally, my life is complete.
6 months?
I know, yeah. Well, I took a big break, so... Because I played it a lot when it came out. I got stuck on the bee. And they beat it yesterday.
Queen bee?
Yeah, the queen bee. She was tough. And finally got to the end. There wasn't any bosses that were, like, too tough after. And then I got to the end, and there's a really cool thing I don't want to spoil for anybody who's trying to beat it. That's right before the final boss. When you get to the devil, you have a choice. You can either join the devil, and if he's like, join me, you've done my bidding, and you can say yes, and then it just shows Cupman and Mugman just, like, really evil, and, like, that's the end of the game, and the credits roll, and I was like, well, I guess I technically beat it, but, like, I gotta fight the devil. So I went back and fought the devil, and he was really hard, but I enjoyed it.
It's funny.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Those characters weren't, like, you know, a temple of morality anyways, aren't they in that predicament? Because they... sold their soul to the devil gambling.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny because, like, it's like 1930s cartoons, and looking back, I mean, we were always looking back at these cartoons now being like, ooh, that's kind of messed up for kids. Like, they really took that, like, at the end, you know, you're fighting, like, glasses of alcohol. Like, you fight, like, a tumbler of whiskey and, like, a carafe of whiskey and, like, a martini. You fight a big cigar and, like, all this kind of stuff. Like, oh, right, this game is about sinning. Like, it's not, yeah. And then I played a little ESO with you, Neil. Same feeling as you. I want it to be a little more, but it's all right. There's just too many fetch quests and not enough fighting. And then started on Banjo-Kazooie for the first time in my life. I'm playing that.
Oh, speaking of which, last week I said, I misspoke right before break. I said that Crash Bandicoot was my jam. What I meant to say was that Banjo-Kazooie was my jam.
Right. From the corrections department.
Yeah.
I love it. We'll talk more about it next week.
Yeah,
with our
I love
segment.
That game.
But, oh, man, I'm, like, already obsessed. Like,
yeah.
I was fighting sleep to continue playing last night, like that kind of thing. It is a lot of fun.
It's so just like campy too. It's great.
Yeah, it's a good time. And that was like, speaking of like when I was playing Cuphead and being like, oh right, like this is like kind of edgy. Like I forgot games used to have like kind of that. Like there's like, I mean, I know they're not like super, but there's like burps and farts and like kind of like innuendo and stuff like that kids would miss.
Well, I mean, Banjo-Kazooie feels a lot like an E-rated version of Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because that was a little more edgy.
That was a lot more.
A lot less veiled.
Yeah. No kidding. In the news this week, we were talking a little bit about Overwatch. There's a new hero. And
I'm so excited for him.
I know, he looks so cool. This is the hero I'm like, oh, I'm going to get back in and play this now. I mean, and it is Hammond, who everyone was like waiting for, because he's the one who released all the apes that allowed Winston to come out and things like that. But he's not a monkey. He's a hamster. And he's got a little mechanical...
Well, everybody just assumed monkeys, because that was the main experiment on their moon thing.
Right.
Oh, so like Hammond broke out and then let all the apes out or something?
Yeah, he's like... Yep. In his like opening, like they always put out like a little teaser about his story. Yeah. And he's like ultra smart, and so he keeps getting out of his cage, and like the overdub is like a recording from this main scientist saying like, oh, this little hamster's really smart, he got out of his cage again. And you can tell that it's like a previous, but what they're showing is like the big one where he released all the monkeys and like caused chaos. So
that scientist was Winston's quote unquote father.
Right. So I'm excited to play him. He looks like fun.
He looks, of course, he's in a mech.
Yeah.
That rolls around, resembles a hamster ball, of course. And yeah, I think it looks a lot like the robot from Incredibles 1.
It does look like that.
It made me think of the rolling robots from Star Wars when I first saw it.
Yes, oh, it looks a lot like that, too. Yeah. But it does look cool. It's really fun looking. And the first-person mode, it looks a lot like D.Va in a way. So I haven't looked up too much about him, but I'm excited. So he'll be out probably a week or two. I know he's on the PTR now.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people posting GIFs and stuff of them playing him.
Right. He looks like fun. The second thing on our list, this is what I'm really excited for, because we talked about this last week, how much I love the Halo story. The Halo series was officially ordered by Showtime. And I'm excited. It looks like it's got some good people behind it. It's got Rupert Wyatt, who was the director for Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Nice. It's
pretty cool.
Speaking of a bunch of monkeys escaping.
Yeah, that would have been a good segue. We missed our opportunity there. And then it's
I didn't think that would be a live action series.
Yeah, I mean it's been in rumors for years. There was a movie, Peter Jackson was supposed to do it. I remember that was a big rumor.
Well, they did that like, what was it? Like a 7-part series where like 7 directors did 7 different episodes.
Right. That was pretty cool. That was like before Halo 3, right? Or somewhere near that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were pretty cool.
Is there...
And then they did do the live action version.
The only thing that worries me about it, like a movie like this or TV show or whatever, has there ever been a good video game adaptation?
No.
Well, of anything?
I heard Rampage was fun. I haven't seen it.
But that wasn't like the game at all, though.
That's true.
Battleship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. the last 5 minutes of Doom are fun, and that could have just been a short film that everyone would have enjoyed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, as soon as it went to POV, everyone was into it.
Yeah. POV? Jake Gyllenhaal's... You've been watching this. You mean first person?
First person, yeah.
He's there, Neil. Jerking off in the theater to Doom.
You don't?
I don't know, but I'm excited. Like, it's on Showtime, so it's not like, you know, we'll see.
I think.
No,
what was the other one?
More
oh, Jake Gyllenhaal's Prince of Persia is notoriously one of the worst movies ever created. So
I feel like
they don't have a good track record.
I heard the World of Warcraft movie was real mediocre.
I watched it, and I guess that wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't terrible. I heard it was all right. Yeah. I hear fans of World of Warcraft really like it.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for Halo. They did an anime, too, that I have, too.
Nice.
And that's all right. But, yeah, we'll see. It's, like, Steven Spielberg's production company and stuff like that. So there's a lot of good people behind it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good story. I'm just interested. The toughest thing is that Master Chief, you know, never takes off his helmet. So, like, when you have a main character who doesn't have any, like, facial expressions and things like that, it might be a little tough.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, a big concern when they started making the Iron Man movies, and then they came up with the idea to show him inside the helmet, but the whole thing is that you never see Master Chief's face. So, yeah, it could be kind of weird. But we'll see. I'm pumped.
Don't we know the Master Chief's name? Isn't John. It like John Smith?
I don't know if his last name is Smith, but I know it's John
Smith.
It is John. So Riot accidentally sent a few League of Legends players other people's personal information on accident, because there's the new law in the UK, like the information law, like the data they collect on you, and I guess you can request your information from Riot, and they'll give you some game information and things like that and personal info. So a couple of players requested theirs, and they started getting emails with zip files that were not their own. So they started getting all this other stuff.
That's like a self-hack, a self-breach.
Right, yeah, it's weird, because I guess, so like someone put on Reddit, like, hey, this is what I found. The other person whose stuff it was like, oh, thank you so much for like being honest and not using my information. Only a couple people were affected, they said. But basically what happened was, for some reason, it was normally an automated system. And then they had had to do it manually for some reason. And it was employee error. And they started
sending
people
wrong. Good old human error.
Yeah.
Has anything, the AI overlords are coming.
Right. No kidding. That's Xbox also just announced that they were going to, I don't have this article up here, I saw it right before I walked in, that they're going to start using AI to catch cheaters, as opposed to like reporting and like looking back. But has anything ever happened to you like that? Like your info leaked? Have you ever been part of like a breach?
We probably all have, and I'm just sure, haven't known about it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Or they saw our bank accounts and we're like, no, not these guys.
What was the big one where everyone's credit data got leaked?
Yeah, that recent one. Yeah,
sure, everyone's in that one. And then Target a couple years ago.
Were you part of that?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't shop at Target.
My card gets fucking all the time. It's like every 3 months I have to get a new debit
really?
Card.
Yeah, I've never had it all happen. The time. And I am wildly not safe.
I don't know. I don't buy stuff online. Right. If I do, I buy it from like Amazon.
Right, right.
You know. So I have no idea. Like it's probably the McDonald's in Frando or something. Right. It's like.
I haven't really had anything happen. There's a website where you can go and look at where all your stuff's been breached, and like I'm on a lot of those lists, and it's like stuff I've never heard of, like yeah. I don't remember ever being part of, but nothing's ever happened. But recently my inbox has been flooded from Epic, the makers of Fortnite. Every day I get 3 emails saying someone's trying to log into my Epic account.
Oh really?
Yeah, and I have changed the password and it's still happening, so I think someone's just like botting them, like trying to figure out the passwords.
Just a bunch of different.
But it's like, why do you want my Fortnite account? Like, there's like nothing in it.
You gotta get your traveler skin or whatever he's called.
There's like the last 4 digits of your credit card. But what's that gonna do you?
But is it because I think Microsoft has access to my credit card because that's where I bought stuff through. So it's like I think Epic would have to. But I don't know. But that's all for me. But
yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully they get that all worked out and they aren't giving people other people's information for too long. All right, Neil, this next one, you put this one in here, and I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, I knew nothing about it.
I didn't either.
First of all, when was the last Sonic game that even came out?
Recently. That one came out that everyone really likes. It was like that fan-made one. It wasn't in there. Jim Carrey is going to be Dr. Robotnik in the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie that I did not know was coming out.
I could see that going really well, actually.
Directed by Jeff Fowler with Deadpool director Tim Miller serving as producer.
Good people behind it again, but once again, has there been a good... And like,
there's some really bad Sonic things out there, too.
For sure. And like, that's the weird thing. Like, so is Sonic going to be CGI? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Because it says live this action. Doesn't say...
Is it going to be like a Roger Rabbit kind of thing?
Right, because it's, like Sonic has to be CGI. You can't put a dude in makeup It's gonna be terrible.
Just a guy in prosthetics running around.
It's gonna look like a Blue Man Group. Jim Carrey playing Dr. Robotnik. I think that could be fun.
Accent does Dr. I think he's German, right? He's got kind of a German.
I think he's just gruff. Does he talk ever? He does. There was a Sonic the Hedgehog television show that I used to watch as a kid, and he talked in that. I don't think he talked in any of the games. But yeah, what was that game that came? Sonic Mania came out that everyone loved. It was like kind of like fan made or something like that. I really want to get that game because I used to be a big Sonic fan, and then Sonic started sucking. I mean, that's all there is to say on that. Unless anybody's got any more opinions on Jim Carrey being Dr. Robotnik.
Mm-mm, I don't.
You know, I kind of forgot about both Sonic and Jim Carrey, so this is just fun.
I got something. The Switch recently, people have finally cracked it open, and it's led to some issues.
Most notably.
Yeah. They figured out how to set custom avatars as your like gamer profile picture.
Right, because usually you have to pick between like the Mario.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of Nintendo characters. But apparently when you change it, it gets uploaded to Nintendo servers, and then it, like, if you're playing in a game that has your profile, it just shows up on people's games. So people, as they do, put porn pictures as their profiles. So you'd be playing Mario trying to find balloons, and you find a balloon with some dude's penis on it.
It's terrible, but it's hilarious, right?
Like, it's terrible because the average age for playing that game has got to be like 12. 15 and below.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
But they've also anti-piracy stuff. Each game cartridge and each digital download has its own unique identifier. So if you distribute your cartridge files, they can ban your specific hardware.
Oh, wow.
Well, that, oh, damn.
Yeah.
That works. Yeah, it's tough because, like, you start tracking people's, like, games and stuff like that. People get weird. But if people are going to start putting penises up there, you got to do something. Yeah, rage over that. Yeah, this is, like, a new problem in the world.
I don't think it's a new problem.
I mean
people have been seeing penises they don't want to see for a long time. Right.
I mean, it definitely, I think that was a thing people weren't ready for when online gaming started. I remember that's where I learned a lot of my swear words before, like, automatic like sensors were gone. I remember playing Diablo and learning colorful language.
Anonymity brings out the worst in people.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But there was no like picture sharing in Diablo. So but that was a big problem with their Wii U too, because you could draw things.
Yeah,
and some people use their artistic talents
for evil.
for evil. Well, necessarily evil. It just depends on where they're placed.
I bet the first thing built in Minecraft was just a giant penis. I mean, I would put money on it.
Close. At least top 10. Just
building big square penises.
All right, that is the news for us.
I have a follow-up from a story we told last week.
Oh, okay.
About the Fallout Shelter Warner Bros. Lawsuit.
Yes.
So Bethesda, who created the popular iPhone game Fallout Shelter, has started a lawsuit, for those of you who don't know, with Warner Brothers, who made a Westworld game. Based on the TV series that's very similar to Fallout. And they have responded, and I think it's a funny statement. As one of the world's leading creators of intellectual property, including the groundbreaking television series Westworld, way to pat yourself on the back, guys. Warner Brothers has a deep respect for intellectual property rights. As such, the assertions by Bethesda Software and that Warner's Westworld mobile game improperly used source code from the Bethesda's Fallout Shelter are as surprising as they are unsubstantiated. I just love that they, hey guys, we didn't do it, but remember Westworld? How great is Westworld?
It's
guys,
really good.
Let's go watch Westworld.
We should go download our Westworld mobile game.
In a legal defense statement, it's they give themselves a stellar review.
It's like this thing where, like, it's to me, it's a little silly because they're fighting over a mobile game. But Fallout Shelter has been played more than all of Bethesda's games combined. Like, it's insane. And then, like, you slap that on Westworld, and you're going to get people who love Westworld, and they'll never play a game in their life, but then they'll play this. You know, like, mobile games, like, reach everybody. So, like, this is a huge, like, cash thing for everyone. Like, you know, my mom never plays a mobile game, but if one for her favorite television show came out, she'd play it, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand why it's a big fight, but
yeah,
it's pretty. I haven't even played the game, but I'm gonna pick it up and I'm gonna play it because I played a good amount of Fallout Shelter and I want to see how.
Have you watched Westworld?
I have not watched Westworld.
It's good.
I heard it was good. They're on season two right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I watched. You know,
is it? I think it's done. We're close to done.
Yeah. Some. I see people on Facebook talking about it.
I would just wait and watch it later.
Yeah.
So you can just watch it all through.
Very behind on television because I'm trying to catch up on video games. You know the world we live in.
But you'll never catch up.
Nope. Speaking of video games, this is what the podcast is about. Here we got what's coming up this week in games. This will be out by the time this is released. Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered comes out July 3rd, so that's Tuesday. So it's out already for you if you're listening now. That's coming to Xbox, PS4, and PC. The week after that, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which was available for the Wii U already, has been for a couple years, is going to come out for the Switch and 3DS on July 13th. And Octopath Traveler, which I'm very excited for, is coming out July 13th for the Nintendo Switch exclusively. It's the only place you can get it.
Yeah. Well, Treasure Toad Tracker's exclusive too.
Yeah, that's true. To Nintendo, but it's going to be on three different platforms. Anything you're excited for there?
You know, I remember playing Red Faction Guerrilla, and it does not strike me as a game that needed a remaster.
Yeah, that's something that I was curious about, because I remember playing it a little bit, but not that much.
It was their first sandbox game.
Was it? I know there was two of them, right? Armageddon was the other one, right?
Yeah, you'd right. go from, you're on Mars, and you'd go from, it was just a regular old sand, nothing great about it.
Right.
It's just a, I mean, it was basically like, what's Unreal's big tournament? What's it called? The Unreal big tournament? Shooter.
Unreal Tournament?
Yeah. It's that with a story.
Yeah, I don't remember, because I loved Red Faction 1, 2, and checking out, I don't know, maybe this remaster is going to be cool.
I'm excited for Octopath. I played an hour and 45 minutes of the demo and had fun. I'm more excited to actually get the whole thing, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Demo's just never.
I played the whole 3 hours. 3 hours is a long time for a demo, though.
Yeah.
That was really nice. I was like, when I was telling you the other day, when I was at like 2 hours and 50 minutes and 2 hours and 55 minutes, I'm like just trying to get as far as I can. But there were like places that it wouldn't let you go anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But, I really enjoyed it, and I don't know if I'm going to get it right away because I am so behind in playing other games, but it's definitely on my list, and it looks like something I can pour a bunch of time into.
Yeah.
Have you played the demo, Neil? On your,
I can't.
Your roommate's got that Switch. Just steal it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't done that in a while.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Treasure Tracker. Whew. Had a lot of hard
say
time.
Say that.
There. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. That's a lot of fun. I had that for Wii U. It was because Super Mario 3D World had these little mini games that were basically you were Captain Toad and you would go around, and they were a lot of fun. And then they made a whole game about it, and it's a blast. I want to go back and finish that too. But if you haven't played that, I recommend checking it out. If you're into like, it's puzzly and it's cool. There's like little square worlds you go around. So check out those games if you're excited. I'm really excited for Octopath. Maybe I'll check out Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered, but I feel like that game's just going to be free eventually. It's just going to come to games with gold or and something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how much the remaster's even going to cost, actually. I'd be surprised if they went full 60.
Nah, it's probably going to be like 40. All right, Neil, here we go. Take it away with your historical game releases.
So, on this day in gaming history, and actually, we're going to... Games aren't released every single day, so it's kind of during this week of this recording.
Right.
Actually, this one is today, though. Dragon's Lair. The original one, not the one we probably played, Dragon's Lair 2 and or 3D, came out in arcades, so in an actual cabinet.
Right.
And it was the first laser disc based coin operated arcade game ever.
Nice.
Costs 50 cents to play, and I forgot to write the date down here. I think it was like 19. I'm gonna find that real quick.
Yeah, you found that. Did you ever play Dragon's Lair, Clinton?
I've never even heard of it.
I mean, 1983.
Never heard of it? It's like the one. It's really famous for how you died, but it was like cartoony looking. It was interesting. So
it was also a Disney movie.
Yes, there was a Disney movie.
You've probably seen it with what was it? Dirk the Daring, and probably the sluttiest princess you've ever seen. Like they were not ashamed of it.
Well, I mean, video games during the time, and still to this day, do that.
No, even the Disney movie.
You find out when that came out?
Yeah, 1983.
1983, yeah. 50 cents then.
Yeah, it's like $4.
Right.
50 cents on 1983 was a good amount of money.
Yeah. Especially if you're a kid just trying to play a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your mom's probably like, you can't play that one. That one's too much. You can play two for the price of that one. This next one's interesting. These next two that you got on your list are classics from my childhood.
Yes. So June 30th, yesterday, Star Fox 64 came out in North America. It had been out in Japan for a week or two before that, but this is when we got it.
Right, right.
And, I mean, what can't you say about Star Fox? Do a barrel roll?
Do a barrel roll. I remember my friend got that, and... his parents were kind of strict, and we were not allowed to play games until a certain time of the day. He had a very different life than I did, so he would just come to my house and play games all day. But yeah, we weren't allowed to play until like the sun went down. So like in the summer, we had to wait even longer. Like we couldn't play till like 8 or 9 in the summer. And I remember that his parents allowed us to play Star Fox 64 during the day, like because he had just gotten it. But we had to play upstairs. They were really weird. We had to play upstairs with them.
That's weird.
And we all, like, him and his whole family, he had, like, 7 children in his family. We all just, like, took turns playing it. So I think I got to play for a total of, like, 5 minutes that day. But I remember just being blown away by it. And I liked the frog.
Slippy?
Yeah, yes.
What is there? There's Fox, Slippy, Falco, and...
The rabbit guy.
Who's the rabbit guy?
I don't know what his name is.
He was, like, the father figure.
His name's probably, like, Dave or something.
Dave. And this next one, this is one I played quite a bit.
Oh, hold on. I got to figure out who the rabbit was.
Peppy. Peppy Hare.
Peppy, of course.
Peppy Hare. Aw. They got a new Star Fox coming out soon for Switch. We need to know more about it, but we don't know much about it.
It's been a while.
Is there Star Fox coming out, or is it just Star Fox was in that game?
No, another Star Fox is coming out. People were upset they didn't talk about it at E3. And last but not least, Neil? Definitely not least on my list.
What a weird phenomenon this video game was, though. Yeah. I really didn't do anything. Yeah. It felt like a Mario Party like side game.
Right.
But everybody
Snap,
loved it.
By the way, you should, yeah, you Pokemon should say Snap. What you're talking about.
Hey, I was building tension. Jeez.
Dan has no sense of
patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, say what the game is.
Come on. People aren't going to know. You're going to turn it off before they're here.
I don't know, man. I would have.
Yeah, Pokemon Snap.
Oh man, that game was so big. I don't understand why they never made a 2 or a 3, and why are we not on Pokemon Snap 10 right now?
I don't know.
Yeah. What?
And what was it about it that just made it so?
I think that they did such a good time.
Is it just the collecting aspect of collecting pictures of these Pokemon?
Maybe, but they really nailed it with, like, you got points, like, for taking pictures and, like, the way you took pictures and, like...
Yeah, man. Like, if you caught them during an action...
Well, you had to do certain things, too. Didn't you have to throw rocks at things to trigger certain actions and stuff?
Yep.
Yep.
And you got... What'd you have? Like, apples and rocks, I think, were, like, the two things you had. And...
What were the secret... There was a secret thing that you had to take a picture of in every episode, or in every level, and I think it might have just been Pikachu, because...
I don't know.
Yeah,
because it's always Pikachu.
But I know, if you threw rocks at like near a cave, something would come out, or or apples near a cave, and that game was just, it was so creative, and there's never been another game like it. Like who took like photography, and they like made it a game. You know what I mean?
Like, I would have loved to hear that pitch.
Right, you're in a cart on a railroad track, and you have to take pictures of Pikachu. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, and the thing, like, it was fun. I also played it kind of recently, and I was like,
I was watching videos of people hacking it the other day. Actually,
were they changing it so they had to take pictures of penises?
No, not that kind of hacking. Where like they made it so you weren't on the track anymore.
Oh, so you could like, just float like, around.
Yeah, I'm going off road and damn. Yeah.
And like, can you imagine like with the Switch and like what you could do with that and the motion controls and stuff, and how big of a world you could create where you like walked around and took photos. It would just.
They should just made Pokemon Go Pokemon Snap.
Oh yeah. No joke.
It would have been way more well received, I feel like. Because then you don't have battling.
Right.
Like, you don't have, like.
That game is finally getting really close to what it should be. I haven't played in a while.
How long has that even been out, though?
About 2 years. Yeah. And actually, they just reported, IGN just reported that they are at their highest level of players since the beginning of the game. So obviously, like, it was huge. And it died down, but people are back out because they added. I saw where you can have friends and stuff.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people downtown Thursday. I don't remember what day, but they were all gathered in a huddle. There was like 20 people.
Yeah.
Like, all middle-aged, like,
there's why are you out here playing huge Pokemon? Groups. Yeah, I mean,
it's
you know.
It's like 100 degrees out, and you're all standing in a circle playing Pokemon Go in your dress clothes.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like, it gets people out walking and stuff, but then like these raids and like all the stuff that they've added to get people to like they'll walk there, but then they stop and there's so many people that just drive around town doing it. It's like I feel like that's not the point. I like the walking, but they finally added friends and trading, which is big, but you still can't battle another person. Yeah. The gyms I think are still irrelevant. They like changed how the gyms work, and now it's like no one fights for gyms. Everyone just wants to raid.
Didn't they put out something recently where some augmented reality thing with Pikachu running around hiding behind stuff?
I don't know. Was that part of Pokemon Go?
Yeah, I think so.
Did they call it Pikachu Peekaboo?
They should.
Ooh. Actually, because so many of my friends were like online on Facebook and everything, like, oh, here's my friend code. And someone sent me their friend code like in a PM. And I was like, hey, I haven't played that game in a second. And because I was really into it when it first came out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, this game is like half finished. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't play. And they're like, oh, you should play again. And I went to go play it, and I attempted to open it 4 times, and it crashed every time, and I deleted it. I was like, come on. All right.
Yeah, no, it's something about they're opening their platform to other game developers.
Right.
And they just showcased this thing called their, like, occlusion engine.
Hmm.
So it's just got Pikachu running around hiding behind bushes and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Huh.
There's the Harry Potter one coming out soon.
Yeah.
Niantic version of that. And I think a Jurassic Park kind of thing came out recently.
Nice. I played the original Niantic a long time ago. I submitted, like, most of the...
What was the name of that game?
Ingress.
Yes.
I submitted a good number of the
Pokemon
things on stops. Campus.
Right, yeah, because they took everything from Ingress and... ported it kind of over to, so you were like, I've made all these Pokemon stops.
So, yeah, I played Ingress like when it was in beta a long time ago.
Yeah, it seemed pretty cool and like kind of a similar. I mean, obviously you didn't catch Pokemon.
It was like, I mean, it was like you had, there's like you build triangles linking different portals together,
right?
And whoever, like, there's two sides, two factions, and whichever faction controlled the most portals, like, was winning the global battle.
See, they should just add that to Pokemon Go. When you have gyms and triangles, you should just have an area where your team like spawns more Pokemon or something.
Ooh,
like
that's
that.
That's a good idea.
There needs to be a reason to hold gyms.
Yeah.
This game is like real, like, I don't know. They added missions and stuff too, like story missions. So if you haven't played Pokemon Go and you're interested, there's a lot more stuff in it if you can get it to work.
Yeah, it doesn't crash on
you. It doesn't crash on you. All right, that is it for historical games release and all that. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this. Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Game Goose. Did I say Game Goose up top? I'm sure
know.
I did.
You got to plug our...
Before we get started into our main topic...
You got to do it early before everyone leaves.
Before everyone leaves, before everyone gets annoyed. so they can follow us and then get annoyed.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter.
Our Twitter page is finally working.
It's finally working. Twitter has now accepted that we are not a robot or a baby.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah, I thought we were a baby. I changed the birth date on it. Because it was like, wait, I just wasn't thinking and put last Thursday's date as the birthday.
And it was like,
and even Twitter's like, we don't want one-year-olds. And it was instantly
like, you're not old enough to have Twitter. Send us your ID if you are old enough.
Yeah, less than 24-year-old baby.
Yeah,
signed up for Twitter. We're at game_goose, or I'm sure you can just find Games Goose and do that. And if you're listening to us, you know where to find us. But we're on all kinds of
Google Podcast, things.
Stitcher. We're working on iTunes.
Yeah, trying to get it on.
They're taking a minute, but. Yeah.
They probably think we're babies, too.
We are robot babies. The main topic this week is little things in games. Just little details that make a world feel full and fun.
Sweating the small stuff. That's what we're doing today. Because it's hot. We're sweating.
Oh, it's hot.
It's hot as there. Hell. This topic all comes down to immersion and, like, yeah, and really feeling like you're part of the world you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And I love games that do any little thing. The earliest, I was trying to think, like, the earliest I remember there being something in a game that wasn't, like, a main core part of the game. And I think the earliest that I can remember is in Sonic the Hedgehog. When you weren't playing, when you left the controls and you didn't pause it, he would turn and look at the screen and cross his arms and tap his foot. And you're like, oh, Sonic's getting mad.
Well, if any video game character has ADD, it is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. But I love the idea that he's not allowed to control himself, so you need to control him to make him move, and he's angry that you're not doing that. But he does have enough control to tap his foot angrily at you. And the other thing I wanted to say, just because my wife was like, make sure you say this. I've never played The Witcher 3. I know. It's...
His hair grows? I've played so many hours of that game, and
grows, and you can get it cut, and you can get your beard shaved, I guess, and it will grow back.
I think it's because I always had, like, long hair, long beard, because he just looked like a badass. Right. He looked like some, like, old man going to rock concerts and just pulling swords out. So I guess I never got to experience Geralt's hair growing.
Yeah, that's something.
The Witcher is totally metal.
Yeah, he's definitely, like... He's going to see Pantera and...
Yeah. Only played on, like, lutes and...
He's the guy. He's, like, the cool old guy. Like, you still feel a little uncomfortable around him because he's old.
Yeah.
But you're still like,
he says some things sometimes. You're like... Mm.
We don't say that anymore.
But, yeah, my wife wanted me to mention the growing of his hair. So
yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. And I've played a lot of hours in that game. See, it's the little things.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I never would have thought. I don't know if we should start now, but I know Clinton's list has so much Zelda stuff.
It does have a lot. I mean, it's the game I've played the most recently, so.
And it also just has so many of those things.
The one that really stands out to me in Zelda actually is just kind of like it was a small thing, and I mean, it was just a, like, the first time he did it, I was like, what? You can't do that. But that's when the Hinox, you're fighting him, you shoot him in the eye to kill him.
Right.
And after you shoot him in the eye a couple of times, he starts covering his eye.
Yeah.
I was just like, wait a minute. Like,
dirty fighter.
He does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, like, yeah. Yeah, that is annoying, but also, like, smart AI.
Yeah.
It's like a little thing to make him do.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
But I have a bunch. I'll just go through them. The game when you die?
Yeah, this is what I was going to mention, because I did not notice this.
You didn't notice it?
Did you read about this?
No, I noticed it. Okay. Yeah, I noticed it on the plateau even, actually.
Like, you have an eye for detail.
First beginning thing. Apparently not. I didn't see Geralt's hair growing. but when you die in Breath of the Wild, when it says, like, game over, it'll be in different colors depending on, like, if an elemental attack killed you or if you, like, froze in the... river or...
Right, so you're saying it was blue if you freeze, lightning. Yellow if you get struck by lightning, yeah. Red. I remember being
it's
red
It's always red from, like, attacks and stuff. Okay. And then I'm not sure what it is if you die from fire.
Right.
If it's just the red or if it's, like, an orange color, but...
I never knew...
It's like a flaming game over sign.
Right. Did you ever notice that, Neil?
No, I totally missed that.
Yeah, I just was upset.
Or maybe I just never died. Come on.
I just died a lot, maybe.
I died so much at the beginning of the game, I was like, oh, this is going to be hard. And then I got the glider, and I was like, oh, I'm just falling constantly right now. And once I have the glider, I'll be fine. You do have an eye for detail. Clinton saved my life. Well, not my life. That was overstatement. we were at a disc trader's. It's like a local game trade shop.
Oh.
And
you almost died at Disc Traders?
No, but he almost lost $126.
Yeah. I was trading in a bunch of stuff, and Clinton just looks down and he goes, huh, they got your name wrong, and it said Daniel Curtis. And I was like, I don't think they got it. Like, I think they, like, are giving this to someone else. So I was like, hey, this says Daniel Curtis. They almost gave this dude just, like, a random $127 or whatever it was. But so, yeah, thanks again for that, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Saved my life. Noticing
game Daniel Curtis signs, is probably right? Listening, just wringing his fingers. God damn.
But yeah, in Breath of the Wild, there's these little things you find, little Korok guys, or like
right,
little plant
leaf
people.
Men,
yeah. And
I love them, by the way.
Some of them,
they make me so happy.
They are like super cute. Some of the like things that make them come out are like you put offerings into little things,
right?
And if your horse is near you while you're putting these offerings in these dishes, the horse, and it's usually apples that you're putting,
right,
in,
right,
the horse will come up and eat the apples before you can, which is hilarious.
It's just such a weird obstacle.
Yeah,
all this stuff we're talking about, everything like makes me want to play that game again.
Yeah,
and it's
dropping the rocks on the Koroks, and they're like, oof.
Can you feed the horse?
Yeah, you can drop apples on the ground in front of them and they'll eat them.
Nice. Okay, I gotta do that.
Yeah.
I
like the dogs. You can feed the dogs. You can feed the dogs meat.
Yeah, I love the dogs just running around. Yeah. Those are adorable. Could you pet them? You could pet them, right?
I think you can pet them.
Neil,
I think you can.
You love petting.
I don't
dogs.
Think you pet them. You just
come,
feed them.
You
like
come
three,
up to them and they get little hearts. Oh, and if you hang out next to them for a minute, yeah. And that's one of my things, like, any game where you can pet an animal is always just going to up the immersion.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Any animal I see, I'm going to be like,
you can pet all
dog.
The dogs in Far Cry.
I'm going to pet that.
That's the number one question you always have.
Like, yeah.
Can I pet that?
Yeah. Can I get that? Let me just pet that cat a little. How soft is it?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so they met. It's so funny because they have all this stuff in Zelda. Two things. Yeah. Who didn't allow you to pet the dogs? Come on.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is there's no fish, like... No actual fishing.
Fishing, yeah.
Although I did learn the other day that you can go spear fishing in that game.
Oh.
And you can actually spear the fish.
Nice.
Oh. So there's like a whole... I found a whole thread of lots of people who, instead of playing the game, said they kind of do like a little role-playing, and they pretend they're a fisherman in the thing, and they said they just fish for hours. Like at the fishing
with
village.
With spear fishing?
Yeah, with spear fishing. So...
You can bomb fish, too.
Yes, you can definitely bomb fish. Someone definitely mentioned that, and everyone's like, that's not fun.
You friggin' redneck.
Dynamite fish.
Anything else in Zelda? Oh, there's so much.
There's so much.
Chickens attacking.
Yeah,
that's an old
I think that's
thing there.
That's just the classic.
But that's, I think it's the first one where you can get enemies to attack it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is
a lot of fun. I love, yeah, I took a couple minutes in that game just messing around, especially like hitting the rocks and like jumping on them and having them shoot you places and stuff.
I think outside of Zelda, two of the more just like general ones I was thinking of, and I can't remember where this started. I think it was either a Red Faction or, ironically, a Red Faction or a Battlefield game.
I think it was
when
Battlefield.
For some reason,
I remember Battlefield.
Well, was Battlefield before the original Red Faction?
I think Battlefield was the first one that brought it into a multiplayer setting.
Well, we're going to find out here. Talking about destructive environments, man.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if you want to feel like you're a part of the world you're gaming in, then you should be able to blow up a wall.
Right.
Or a hot dog stand.
What was the Battlefield? Wasn't there like one where you and another person would go through?
I didn't play a lot of Battlefields. I know Neil's played a couple.
I played three a lot.
The first Battlefield that I see is Battlefield 1942. Or unless this is... This looks like it's... But, oh, wait. No, this is by year. So 2002 was Battlefield 1942. I don't know if you could destroy things in that.
Isn't the Batman game known for, like, being able to destroy environments?
Some of them. But they're, like, secrets and stuff. It's not, like, you can't destroy anything you see. The game that I remember destroying everything... Yes, and this was before Battlefield. The original Red Faction. We were talking about the remake. That game, you could destroy things so much. Like, every level, you could put bombs on the ground, and you could just make holes, and you could fight the AI, and they couldn't figure out how to get out of the holes. So you could, like, you could lead them, and you could trap them in these holes and get these, like, insane multi-kills, like, throwing a grenade down there.
Yep.
The level of how much you could destroy things in that game was outrageous, to the point where they were like, we can't. Like, no game ever did it before again, because it was way too much.
Yeah.
Like, it was so fun. You could, like, just dig tunnels for hours. Like, my buddy and I would play games where we didn't even kill each other. We just saw how much of the world you could destroy. And you could destroy it until it was just, like, a box.
A flat.
Yeah.
On all sides.
Yeah, you could destroy stairs and ramps, and you could, people wouldn't be able to get to, like, the second floor of buildings. That game was fun for that reason. And then two...
I mean, people get obsessed with that. Like, even as soon as Fortnite got big, people were making videos of, like, here's me and my friends destroying, you know, the entire Shaky Shores. I forget what the...
Shady Shores.
What the names are.
Yeah, like, and there was the one where everyone destroys Tilted Towers. That was pretty cool.
And then had a dance party, which I think is heartwarming, but then also, like... What... Why?
Because that's games, man. That's like the little things that you can do.
It's like Fortnite's thing, too, is dancing. Right. That's what you always hear about. It's like
everyone had a dance party.
Yeah.
The other game I want to talk about was Sea of Thieves, and we were talking about it, about this segment, and we brought up Sea of Thieves because it has a lot of things, but Sea of Thieves feels like a game that has all these little fun details, and it doesn't have a core game, almost. Like,
no.
It's cool. It's like, you can play music, and if all of your people, all the players, play a different instrument, they automatically line up with each other to play like a she shanty.
Yeah.
So, like, no matter when you start playing, you join in, and it's so that freaking sounds really cool. That's awesome.
I think my brother-in-law Matt kept popping in to my apartment one day when me and you were playing that, and every time it was just me on a boat with my accordion. He's like, man, that water looks great. And do you just play music?
That's like all you do. Like, when, like, and the thing is, like, the quests in that game, all of them feel like side quests. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, the treasure chest finding is fun. The fighting skeletons is, like, really okay. But they all feel like side quests. Like, it's all these little details that make this game really cool looking. Yeah. But you don't do anything in this world. Like, the way the waves move blows me away. Like, the sail, the way you sail, you have to, like, bring the sails up and down. You have to have two or three people to, like, run a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such cool little, like, they put so much thought into all these little things of how a ship moves on the waves and how the music plays and all this kind of stuff. And when you die, you go to, like, this underworld, like, ship where you, like, wait to respawn, and it's all creepy and everyone's a ghost and there's no game, like, surrounding it.
I feel like their production team went to the head designer and was like, dude, we've got water down pat. Like, great. Great, yep. Great. Where's the rest of the game?
No idea. Like, yeah. And then it's like they're adding sharks and, like, krakens that you can run into, and that's really cool, but you get no rewards. There's no, like, story surrounding it. Like, it's really all details. It's all fluff. Yeah. So it's like when the game goes the other way, where it's like, I've played Zelda and missed so many of these little details. And in Sea of Thieves, it's like, all I can do is look at the details.
Yeah, because there's nothing else to look at. I just think about.
Just pushing through to find the game.
Right, yeah. Hopefully, because they're working on it, they're adding, like, skeleton crews and stuff that you can fight in the water.
Yeah.
I would like to revisit it once more stuff gets added.
Would you say that the Sea of Thieves is a mile wide, inch deep?
Boom. You should write headlines for game reviews. And this is one thing I want to talk about in general, is in Sea of Thieves, you can drink and get drunk, and drinking in games has been around for a while, and it always does something. But this is the most accurate drinking.
I like Fables. You have Fable listed, and I like Fables drinking.
Mm-hmm. Did you start to stumble in that?
Yeah.
Because yeah, so many games, your just vision gets blurry, and you're like...
No, yeah, he, like, it's, like, hard to walk.
And yeah, that's how it is in Sea of Thieves, especially because you're on a ship, so you start to, like, go with the ship. I love any game that you can drink, but I hate when it just makes your vision blurry, where it's like, this isn't how what drinking's like. Yeah. Don't suddenly lose, like field of vision.
I think, and again, little detail in Sea of Thieves, if you play your instrument while you're drunk, you're flat. And then as you sober up, your music will become more and more in tune, which is like...
I didn't notice
somebody
that.
Spent probably a good 2-3 weeks recording this song wrong, and you forgot to make the game.
Listen, no story, but you get hammered and play the accordion.
I got you a hurdy-gurdy out of tune.
Drinking in GTA 5, you could do that, but what I like, because in Michael's house you can drink out of the three characters. Michael like had the big house you could drink, but then he had the bong you could smoke too. I remember being like, yeah, you can smoke the bong. And that game was like Zelda, that game also has a great core game, but also has so much stuff in it.
Yeah,
like everything from the people like living in the town. I like how the characters you aren't playing are still doing things while you're not playing them.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. I know people have probably talked about this to death as a detail they love, but when you switch back to Trevor and he's just like running naked in his underwear.
Just in the middle of the street in like a firefight. Trevor.
He would randomly come in and be like, oh no, I'm fighting right now.
Yeah. Wait, can you ever like just run? Can you ever just like run into like one of the other characters just out and about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could go to Michael's house as Trevor, and he would usually be there.
Oh, I never remember like seeing the other characters when I was playing.
Yep, you can run into them. Every once I'd run into Michael, Trevor, and
Franklin.
I'd run into Franklin walking around all the time. Mm-hmm. And be like, hey, that character looks like Franklin. I'm like, oh, it is. And then you switch.
What if you
and
hit him? Or like,
I don't know. I don't remember if I ever hit them. Did you ever do that, Neil?
I don't think I ever did.
I don't know. I just liked them so much. I never thought to do it. There was a character in Grand Theft Auto 4 or 5 that resembled someone we didn't like, and we would search out that character model and beat it up.
What?
It was a lot of fun.
That's great.
We'll talk about that later on our violence and video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
I like in GTA how the cars, like, so you drive a car around a bunch and the engine gets warm, you get out of it and it will make like cool down ticking noises, like a car, like you've ever heard like a real car, like you get out of it and you're walking away, it's like ding ding.
Yeah.
The cars in GTA do that.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah,
it'd be cool. Like, can you I wish you could like touch them and be like, ooh, that's hot. you wrote down something else I never noticed. If you said if you're unarmed and you thought you flip people off.
If you're unarmed and driving and you like hit the shoot button, he holds out his middle finger.
I'm gonna have to play.
And you can like aim it. So you can move the finger around.
Just to make sure the right he'll person punch, gets the
I don't know if he'll punch the window out to do it.
All right.
But yeah, like, because they punch the window out with the gun.
You know,
but
why roll it down?
If the window's already broken, he'll stick his arm out the window.
That's so funny. Do people? I wish people attacked you. Like, I wonder if that happens if you catch the wrong person. Though.
Yeah.
I gotta go back and play that game.
Do the Oblivion one. That's probably one of my favorites.
That is actually one of my favorite things, and it's like, you don't remember. You played Oblivion a lot, though, and you didn't know this thing.
Mm-mm.
So you don't remember the goblins, which, by the way, the goblins are the biggest thing missing from Skyrim. I loved fighting them. Each goblin faction had a totem in their lair, and if you stole it, they were programmed to always chase you or the totem, and they would leave the lair. So you could go to another goblin lair and put the totem inside of their thing, like in the back, and they would... doesn't matter how far away, the goblins would leave their lair as they spawned and would travel across the whole land.
That's funny.
To go try to get their totem, and they would fight the other goblins. So you could flip-flop them, and like they would have like this goblin war, and you could watch them and see eventually who like won and got their totem back. And I spent way too long doing that.
I don't remember the goblins at all.
I loved the goblins, and I think the closest thing in Skyrim is the like
Draugrs. Oh, the Fomar are hard, though.
Yeah, they are a little harder. The goblins were a little easier. But I really like...
There's
liked,
a bunch of clans, too.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. And so they have all these different symbols. Three, and, four, five, six, seven, eight. There's a lot of detail. And,
yeah.
And I wish...
Go ahead.
I wish that they would have kept that.
Yeah.
Because it was so fun. And the goblins were... They had a lot of personality, I think.
Maybe it's just too cold in Skyrim to have goblins.
It's possible. I mean, it's warm in the bottom, but... yeah, so you could create goblin wars, and that was a lot of fun. We also found today that there are ants in Skyrim we never knew about. Speaking of little details, when
ants?
You walk out,
what?
Yeah, they're like, on a, yeah, have you ever seen them?
No.
Me either. But my wife goes, what about the ants in Skyrim? I'm like, there's not ants in Skyrim, shut up.
What are you talking about?
And so she pulled up this YouTube video, and you walk out, and there's these little ants. Huh.
Never noticed.
Can you, do yeah. they do anything?
No.
Can you be like the ant whisperer?
Can no. you like light them on fire with your fireball?
That's a good question. See, I need to ask my wife these follow-up questions. Did you ever light him on fire?
I just want to attack anything, Izzy. Can you attack Franklin if you see him in the world? Light those ants unless on fire!
Unless it's a dog, then you got to pet
it. Oh, yeah, then I just want to pet it.
Yeah, don't hurt the dogs, guys. No. That's my thing. Like, that's it. We were playing The Division, which you cannot pet the dogs in The Division. And it's like, part of me is like, can I shoot the dog? I want to know. And then the other part is like, don't even try. Right, exactly. Like,
what's wrong with you?
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I just want to test the limits of the world.
I'd never want to, like, you know, play with karma when I'm like, what? Are dogs invincible? Wait,
right.
Wait, should the I? Can I?
Kids
what's going
to
happen to me in real life if I do this?
Can you pet the dogs in Super Mario Odyssey? I know you Ooh. Can, like, interact with them. You can do, like,
I don't know,
follow them around
them.
And they dig up stars and or moons. And
right. I don't know if you can pet them,
play
though.
Fetch with them with your hat.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can pet them.
Hmm. But Nintendo doesn't like petting dogs. Just playing with them.
Yeah. The dogs are... I like the dogs in Odyssey. They actually do things. speaking
Dan,
of Odyssey,
have
though,
you ever played... Have you ever played Bastion?
No. That's one that... I'm saying that because at the party on Friday... I think three people told me to play Bastion.
Yeah. I was trying to convince Taylor to play it, too.
Yeah. No, I've never played Bastion.
Right up your alley.
Yeah.
It's everyone says. And it's only like 3 hours long, 4 hours long.
It's
Yeah.
I mean,
it's and
weird,
it's on iPhone. And it feels great on iPhone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would play it on your Xbox.
Yeah, I'll probably play it on Xbox. And is it on Switch?
It might be. I don't know.
Hmm.
But yeah, the narrator in that is a great little detail.
Great.
Where if you're not doing anything, you're just standing around like swinging your sword and stuff, then you're going to be like, the kid just rages for a little while.
That's funny.
The narrator is great because it's always just like, and then he went into Burdusk Hollow and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's one where I think it's the first time you find these drinks. You can get drinks and they'll give you like extra perks. And they're all like different things. Types of like alcohols and tonics and stuff.
Right.
So he takes this kid drinks, you know, he drink an alcoholic one, and he goes, kid knows he shouldn't be drinking, but it's the end of the world. Kid needs a drink.
I have to play that game.
It's really
like,
good.
Okay.
That's really good.
It's on my list of games, my large, large spreadsheet that I have. But I know it goes on sale like all the time. Summer sale's coming up for Xbox, so I'll check that out. Maybe Switch will have one. Going back on Elder Scrolls, Clinton, you had the books down.
Yeah.
There has to be a team of people that do that. Like, there's
I think they just have a team of writers.
Yeah.
And, like, part of their lore team or whatever that goes through, and they just, write a bunch of books. Right. One of them, though, that everyone talks about is the...
Lost Aragonian?
No,
that's my favorite book.
No, the blind guy at the bottom of the well or whatever, who's just got a book, but there's nothing in the book. It's just a blank book.
They do that in like Fallout too. I love the little like in Fallout and in Elder Scrolls, you'll go into a dungeon that's not connected to a quest or like a something that's not connected, but there's still like a story.
Yeah.
Like either like in Fallout, it's a lot of like how the people died, and you can read their notes, and they're in the tub, or they're like in a bed holding hands as they're dead, and like there's like notes written to each other, and it's like oh. They like really add that, and I love
that. There's something like that in BioShock too. There's like a hidden room where there's just a family like sitting on a couch around a TV, and they're all just like Their bodies are all positioned like they were sitting watching TV when they died.
Right, and like that's the thing. Like these games don't need these things. Well, they might, you know, because these are, obviously these games that we're talking about, besides Sea of Thieves, are like acclaimed games, and it's because they put so much love in it. It's like little small things, and you can see a store like side, like you know that people lived there, and you're not just like playing.
Yeah, it makes the world feel like it's actually like a world and not just a bunch of code in a program.
Right, exactly. I mentioned I don't want to talk about Banjo-Kazooie too much because we'll talk about it next week a lot, but every little collectible that you get, they nailed every little sound. Like that makes me want to play and like collect stuff. Like I like need it in my bones. My favorite is when you collect the skulls.
Yeah.
The voodoo skulls, and it's like,
have you not played Banjo-Tooie either, then?
I haven't played any of them.
Ooh, the second one's a treat. The first one's good, the second one's like...
Really? I've heard the opposite.
They've, like, improved. I don't know. I really enjoyed the second one. I like the improvements they made and the changes they made.
I heard that the second one, the levels are big and kind of empty in some parts.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
But...
I don't mind big.
yeah, that's like, you know, but that's, but like, yeah, you can get the Sea of Thieves effect where...
Yeah, it's just too big, too empty.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
All right, anyone got another one they want to throw in?
That
they love?
Yeah, I really enjoy that when you start a Pokemon game, in your protagonist's little room upstairs, there's always, like, the most recent home system.
Right.
The Nintendo home system.
Right, because there was like a Wii and there's like an NES.
Yeah, I think one is SNES. SNES, yeah. And then there's a GameCube one. And I don't know if Omega had a Switch or if it still had a Wii U. But.
Yeah, because I got, well, I was playing Sun and Moon and I think there was still a Wii U in the in the room. Because I always checked that one.
Yeah.
Oh, the one.
Maybe they'll carry their Switch with them this time.
I better take this with me on my Pokemon journey.
Well, like that's
and just in your backpack. You can't do anything with it. But it's just like,
well, it's funny because a lot of the Nintendo games for the Wii U started to have the characters have a tablet.
Yeah.
Because you had a tablet, and like so, Zelda was originally made for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guess? The Sheikah Slate, like that was supposed to be your Wii U tablet, but it kind of works for the Switch too.
Yeah.
But like every game had a tablet in it.
Yeah.
One thing speaking of like. Looking at your Nintendo Switch and be like, this is your Nintendo Switch console or your, you know, thing like that. I love television in games.
Yeah.
Pokemon
does it really well, like, television really well for, like, not being able to see it.
Do they have television?
Yeah, I think it's in, like, Emerald era. They start asking, like, you'll run into reporters that will ask you questions,
right.
And then you'll, like, check a TV and you'll see, like, your response that you added.
I think it made a certain in Silver.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that was.
Do you remember that happening, Neil?
Yeah, that happened before Emerald, for sure.
Yeah, I think it was Silver and Gold. I forgot that happened, and you could watch TV. And
yeah, you could make, like, dumb little sayings out of the, like, pre-selected words.
Right, and, yeah, and so,
you
like,
spend, like, an hour and a half trying to find, like, the most dirty innuendo you can.
And, like, they would have, like, I think sometimes they would have, like, interviews with the Elite Four and stuff like that, too, on there.
Yeah.
You could, like, see things. On a more advanced scale, GTA 5 had a really funny TV that you could sit and watch for hours. They had like real television shows.
The talk radio in GTA 5 is really good too. Oh, and just
so
any GTA game.
So funny. Yeah, it's fun because like my wife really loves, well, she loves GTA, but she also loves Saints Row. And she was trying to play through all the Saints Row, so she went back to like the first one. Like a remastered version, and it's, you can tell exactly what date it's from all the radio stuff, which is pretty cool. Also, some of my favorite in Golf Story, the TV was pretty funny. Did you ever watch the TV in Golf Story? Oh, you missed out because you know you don't go to sleep very often.
Yeah,
like only like five
like
or six
times. Yeah,
but they always talk about my favorite one. He's just like, so how do you feel about the tournament coming up tomorrow? He's like, pretty good, but we got to keep it down. He's like, okay, and have you been practicing a lot? Yeah, we've been practicing for a while, but someone's taking a shot. We got to keep it down. Okay, I'm sorry, but I've been told from the side over there, they're telling us to keep it down. They're kind of sticklers, and they're like, yeah, but we got to keep it down. The guy he's interviewing, he's like, telling him to shut up, and the people from the side are telling him to shut up. He keeps interviewing people. It's really great. And then, like, Stardew Valley, in Harvest Moon.
Where it's actual mechanic.
Yeah, it's TV. It's a mechanic, but then sometimes you get, like, there was always, like, one random channel, too.
But, yeah, it would tell you the weather, and you could learn recipes and stuff from it.
Yeah, yeah, man. That was, those were always so fun, just, like, hitting a little TV. Mm-hmm. So I just want to, like, watch the GTA television now.
Just take a nap in front of it.
No kidding.
You can nap in Mario Odyssey.
Can you nap?
Yeah. Oh, if you don't move at all, yeah. Mario will. It takes a while.
Right. You were saying this.
Like he'll he like kind of like bobs back and forth and then he falls down. Well, not falls down, but he lays down and he'll fall asleep and different creatures will come and different birds will come and nap on his nose.
Huh.
And each world has a different bird. So the ice world has like a little penguin. The city world has a pigeon that comes and checks him out.
Did you do this a lot?
No, I just one of those things that you walk away and then so I was like, oh, that's a different bird than last time. So I checked it. But apparently, and I looked it up afterwards, apparently in the resort one, the beach resort.
Yeah.
If you fall asleep in the right place, a dog comes and he'll lay with you and nap with you.
Aw.
Yeah.
So you can't pet him, but you can cuddle.
Yeah,
you can. Because the dog cuddles.
Yeah.
I never leave my character unattended. I always pause.
Yeah.
I played Skyrim too much and then randomly, like, some enemy I forgot about will find me and I'll come back and I'll be dead.
I always, like, I'm hungry. I'm going to get up and then I just leave it and then come back and Mario's napping with the dog.
Have you gotten to play Odyssey yet, Neil?
No, I've watched a good amount of it, with you and my roommate has it, but no, I haven't gotten my hands on it yet. It looks incredibly fun. I think the last one I played was the one where, it might have been the first Odyssey, where you played on, like, 360 degrees, like, planets.
Oh,
Odyssey. Galaxy.
Like, little orbs. Galaxy, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That had a two-player thing where you could shoot little things and stun enemies, right?
Yeah, yeah. Nintendo loves to add, like, faux two-player to Mario.
Yeah. One-and-a-half-player.
With Odyssey, it has two-player where you control Cappy, right?
Something weird. I have never played it.
I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, because, like, well, if I'm not going to be Luigi, then GTFO. Like, I'm not going to be a hat.
Could you imagine two Mars running around in, like, giant worlds?
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it would.
Maybe. Depends on how far away they allow you to get and stuff like that. It could be, but I mean, like, you know, Super Mario 3D World, but I guess it's not open. You know, I prefer, like, 3D World and stuff that's more like platformy levels than the Odyssey, which I know people think that's crazy. They want their Mario 64 kind of style, but
yeah,
I like it because you can have more people, and I loved being a cat in Super Mario World.
Oh, that one you could play 4-player, right?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was like Mario, Luigi, and then 2 Toads.
Yeah,
so. All right. Anybody else got a little thing they want to talk about?
You know, I'm looking at the Fable one, but yeah. I think that's going to be the old game I play. See if it still holds up.
Right.
But it does fit so perfectly into this conversation that it's just one of the coolest little things that the environment will react to you as you go through Fable, and they got better about this. Ironically, their games got worse 1 to 3, but like if they could have taken all the awesome things they did within the world and then put it back into one perfect game. They did not do that, but no, as you'd go through all your quests, you'd get like little decisions within missions that would they'd align you with good or evil, and the more if you kind of went back and forth, you would never notice anything. But if you went hard good or hard evil, towards the end of the game, you'd have either like devil horns growing out of your head, or a halo would start to appear above your head, and the people around you would react accordingly. Like if you were evil, they'd be scared of you, and they'd cower and they'd shiver and they wouldn't want to talk to you. And if you were good,
I never played
so cool.
I never played the first one. I played the second and the third one. And in those, if you ate a bunch of food, you can get fat.
Yeah, you can
get
fat.
Can you in the
I think you can get fat in the first one, too.
You can get fat, yeah.
I like that one.
I loved that mechanic, and I miss it so much. Because, like, no game has really done good and evil as well as Fable did, I don't think. I mean, Fallout kind of does it. Yeah. But like the way.
But even Fallout got worse at it. Like Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout by 4, it's like.
You're not really making decisions anymore.
Mass Effect is pretty good at it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But like to become you in Fable, you could really look like a dark like lord. Yeah. Like
you grow horns and like eat baby chicks and.
Yes, that's right. You could eat the food that you ate could even make you evil. Yeah. Like that was so cool. That is a thing that I think Microsoft gave up on way too early on Fable.
Yeah.
They were like, one is great, two is okay, three is bad, we're done. And it was like,
we're going to make a battle royale.
Because they tried a couple different, they were like, there was like a Fable in the works that was like a multiplayer, like, it was like.
It was like one against four or something. Right,
and like the one player was like on PC and was like top down. Yeah. You would play against like four Xbox players.
Yeah.
It's like, just. Come on, get Fable or Microsoft owns. This is something I definitely want to talk about later in another episode. But Microsoft owns so many great IPs that they just gave up on because, like, it stopped working for some reason. Like, yeah, I guess we're done. It's like, all right, so we're getting Gears 5 and Halo 6, which are all fun games, but they're kind of the same thing. They're not really like, you know.
They're not pushing the envelope on anything,
right? And you know, they you know, Fable, they own. Before Fable, Lionhead Studios made a game, and I was trying to see, Clinton, maybe you can make this an old game that you play, because it's definitely PC game, is Black and White. Did you ever play that series? Mm-hmm. It was before Fable, and there was two of them, and they were awesome. And you were a god, and you became good. You were a good god or an evil god, so you're born out of desperation from this family that prays, and then you're born, and you're a new god. And you get this giant animal that, like, does your bidding. And you can smack him around and make him aggressive and evil. Or you can pet him, and he'll be nice. So you teach him things. And it was pretty good AI for the time. So you could teach him to go, like, harvest wood for your people. Or you could teach him to just eat people. And so, like, people would become... You got influenced by either attacking other towns and making people afraid of you. And you could throw fireballs from the sky. Or you could, you know... throw sheep into their town, and suddenly they'd have like a herd, and then they'd be like, oh, we love this god, and then you'd like take over the town that way. And every level you were fighting another god, so you're either trying to become so good you could influence everyone to stop believing him and follow you, or you could hurl fireballs at his castle and destroy him. And like that is missing from games, like such a large like good and evil kind of thing. And I think that they need to bring back Fable and have that be, you know, you can become so evil that people are terrified of you.
Yeah.
What was that other game that was kind of like that? It was like Overlord or something?
Yeah, but that you were only evil in Overlord.
That's true.
I loved that game, though. The first one was really fun.
That one just... Well, not just, but that one was re-released, wasn't it?
I don't know if they re-released it or if they... Because there was a second one. I don't think the second one was very good. No. But you got minions and stuff. It was like a weird version of like Pikmin.
Yeah.
You were evil, but you only did evil things.
Yeah.
So, but they really need to bring that back, and I love the way people would cower, or people would like start to bow to you and stuff when you were really, really nice.
And then more superficial than that, they also had your just your attractiveness meter, like depending on what you were wearing or stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that's right.
And they were totally progressive about it. If you were a guy, dudes would still love you. Come up and they do the thing where like they shrug and they squeeze their hands together and like put their head on their shoulder. It's like, whoa, dude, could, I'm flattered.
You could wear a dress and like increase your attractiveness and stuff too.
Yeah,
even though there was only a male character. But all right, I think we got to wrap it up there. There's so many little things. If you want to comment,
if you think of any,
on the Facebook,
send us a tweet.
Send us a tweet. Yeah,
you can email us. Email us. GameGoosePodcast at gmail.
Yep. If you want to share your favorite thing, anything we missed that like you got to talk about, or if you have any ideas for future episodes, go ahead and do that
too. Anyone hear us yammer on about?
Yep. So that's going to be it for us today. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And Clinton, any last words?
No. Have fun out there.
Remember, what's any last
the
words
for the gander?
Any last words, I'm going to murder Clinton. anything you want to say before we go, Neil?
No, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a week. Hey, everybody have a great 4th. Go America.
It'll have already been 4th if they hear this. We're going live Thursday.
Well, I hope you had a good 4th.
I hope you had a good 4th celebrating the day we told the British to suck it.
Verbatim.
Go to hell, you limey fuck.
We said we're going solo. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Game Goose. We'll see you next week.